Wanted to thank the Deitches, thank you, Eliana, thank you to Alex also, you know, just you were mentioned in the bulletin, so I said thank you for hosting this year. So, Shkoyach, always good to share Torah in different homes. We said, bringing the Koach HaTorah, the Or HaTorah, making each home into Mikdash Lashem. So every year, come out every year, in between Mincha Ma'ariv on Thanksgiving Day, I share the same Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, and we learned it together before, but every year we have to chazer over this Torah. Really, you should have to chazer this Torah over once a week, if not every day, to review the same Torah from Rav Soloveitchik, but we're not, you know, we don't have the opportunity to share it together every day or every week, but once a year, when we come to Parshas Vayetzeh, and sure, we do it on Thanksgiving, but here we are in Parshas Vayetzeh, and just want to, again, revisit Rav Soloveitchik's idea. This is just quick hakdama. This isn't tashir. This is just chazara. I know we've learned it together before, and we're going to learn it again and again about the famous Gemara in Brachos and Daf Zayin that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai tells us that no one gave thanks to Hashem until Leah Imenu gave thanks to Hashem. When she names Yehuda Hapam Odes Hashem, this time I give thanks to God. And the question is obvious. No one gave thanks to Hashem until Leah Imenu? What are you talking about? Avram and Sarah didn't say thank you to Hashem when they had a child. Noach didn't say thank you when he was saved from the flood. Yitzchak Avinu didn't say thank you. And Rivka Imenu didn't say thank you. What is this what is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai teaching us? It doesn't make any sense. And what does Rav Soloveitchik say? The Rav Zatzal explains that there are two ways a person gives thanks. I mean, there are many more, but in this idea of Rav Soloveitchik, I mean, Rav Pinkus has a whole word about four different ways we give thanks. But what Rav Soloveitchik said is that, you know, a person can say thank you when they ask for something and they get what they ask for. Like, could you pass me the tangerine? Thank you so much. Right? You say thank you, you get what you wanted, so you say thank you. You got helped. But he said, that's the thank you that Avram and Sarah had, that Yitzchak and Rivka had. That's the thank you that Noach had. But Leah had a different kind of thank you. Because you have to contrast the names of Leah's first three sons to her fourth son. Right? What's the name Reuven? What's the name Reuven? Why is that the name Hashem that Leah gives that to her first son? So you look in Perek Chavtes Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vayar Adonai Kisnua Leah, Vayiftach Es Rachma V'Rachel Akara. Hashem sees that Leah is hated and she conceives. Hashem sees hate. Do you think Yaakov hated Leah? No, we must know Mefarshim say. Just you have two sisters as co-wives. So the perception that Leah had was not being the loved one of Yaakov, that she felt hated. And so Leah conceived, she has a son, and she names him Reuven, Ki Amra, because she said, Ki Ra'a Adonai Bi'anyi, God has seen my impoverished state, Ki Ata Yehavani Yishi, maybe now my husband will love me. Leah Imenu was not felt loved. So that's the name Reuven. She has a second son, Vatarod Vateled Ben Vatomar, Ki Shama Adonai Ki Snua Anochi. God heard that I'm hated. Vaitin li gamezeh. And so he gives me this son, Shimon. Vatarod Vateled Ben. She has a third son, Vatomar, and she says, Ata Hapam, now this time Yilaveh Ishi Eli. Ki Aladti Lo Shlosha Banim, now Yilaveh, from a lashon of what? Malava de Malka, escorting the queen. Now my husband is going to escort me. Now my husband is going to stay with me because I've given him three sons. I've given him three. Now he's going to stay with me. Vatarod vateled bein. Vatomer hapam odes adunai. Alken karashimo Yehuda vatamod miledes. Rav Soloveitchik says, we don't see that anything changed. Yaakov doesn't move his bed into the tent of Leah per se. Rachel is still the beloved, but what happens with the birth of Yehuda? Leah, Rav Soloveitchik explains, is able to change her perspective. And she said, you know what? What I wanted more than anything is that I should feel loved by Yaakov. I don't have that. And we see from the interaction between Leah and Rachel later on, with the Dudai Bini, you stole my husband, now you want to take my Dudam also. Like, what's going on here? Leah certainly doesn't feel loved. But what is the name of Yehuda? Hapam Odes Hashem. Thank you Hashem doesn't mean when things are great. Thank you Hashem means even when my dreams are not realized, my aspirations have not been fulfilled, I haven't had the divine response that I was waiting for, still, Hapam Odes Hashem. I'm going to recognize the blessings that I do have in my life, and I'll give thanks to Hashem for the blessings that I do have, even if they're not what I wanted, they're not what I expected, they're not what I've been davening for. And Zakharov Soloveitchik, this is why we're known as Yehudim. We talk about the name Yehuda. Why are we Yehudim? Some say Vayigash Elav Yehuda from Vayigash and the end of Miketz, that Yehuda takes responsibility for others. And as Jews, that's what we're supposed to do. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh. But Rav Soloveitchik says, look at Jewish history. Look at Jewish history. Has Jewish history turned out the way that we wanted it? Look at Jewish history. You know, Mel Brooks says it as a joke. God, you know, stop choosing us. Choose someone else for a little while. We're the chosen nation. Do us a favor. Choose someone else, God. There's no nation that has been as beaten, as persecuted, as sought out to be destroyed and eradicated from this earth the way we have been. But yet, Hapam Odes Hashem. Hapam Odes Hashem. We're still able to give thanks. And obviously for us, from a national level, really, what do you mean? I mean, talk about, rewind 80-some years. Rewind 75 years. You know, Rav Soloveitchik told a famous story in Kol Dodi Dofek, his great drasha about the importance of the State of Israel. He said he would take trains from Boston to New York back and forth twice a week. And what would happen on those trains? From 45 until May of 48, Christian missionaries would be on the train. They'd look at anyone that looked like a Jew. They'd stick pictures, some of the first pictures that came out of the camps, and say, "You're the chosen nation? Come on. This happens to a chosen nation? God rejected you. You were rejected because you rejected the Lord's Son, Jesus. How can you think you're the chosen? Look at this." And Rav Soloveitchik said, rationally, there was no answer. He said, they stopped when the State of Israel was established. He says, theologically, you don't know the monkey's wrench that the State of Israel threw into the Roman Catholic Church. That's why the Vatican didn't recognize the State of Israel for decades, till after 67, they refused to recognize the State of Israel. But when you look at Jewish history, 2,000 years, I mean, we are in the Gilded Gullus right now. We've never had it this good. Even Spain, early 15th century, wasn't this good. It's unbelievable, right? There'll be the Hanukkah White House party soon. When did that ever happen? When did that ever happen in our Gullus? Do you think the Tsar made that? Do you think the Kaiser did? Do you think King Ferdinand had a Hanukkah party in his palace in Spain? It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable how good we have it. But Rav Soloveitchik said, when you look at the breadth of Jewish history, Yehudim is a perfect name for us. Because rarely has it gone our way, and we still give Shevach V'odah to the Ribono Shel Olam. And Rav Soloveitchik said, in each and every one of us, in our lives, this is the challenge of Leah Imenu. The challenge of Leah Imenu is Hapam Ode Es Hashem. Not easy, but even when the dreams are not met, even when the aspirations aren't fulfilled, if we believe Hashem loves us, and we believe Kol David Rachmana L'Tavavid, if we believe the teachings of Rabbi Akiva and his Rebbeim and the teachings of Rabbi Akiva, of his Rebbe Nachum Ish Gamzu, of Gamzu L'Tov, again, we don't understand this. But it's that type of submission, that type of surrender, that can say, Hapam Odes Hashem. that even though I'm not reaching what I want, Hashem, I'm still going to see what I have, and I'm going to learn to say thank you for the things that I have. And again, this is an idea we should review once a week, but I try every year in between Mincha Ma'ariv on Thanksgiving Day. In Shul, we share this idea again from Rav Soloveitchik, and he realized, I don't think anyone here was in Shul on Thanksgiving Day in between Mincha Ma'ariv. So just to share this thought with you, it's on this week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayetze, and of course it is appropriate because we know that Chanukah is also a time of Lahodos Lahalel. And what's amazing is in Chanukah, we to take a step back and see the full picture of really what was going on during Chanukah, the battle went on for decades. When they got back the Beis HaMikdash and lit the menorah, it wasn't done. Fighting was still going on. 4 out of the 5 Maccabee brothers were killed. Right? It was not this, you know, 1967 Six Day War miraculous thing that so quickly 6 days. It went on for a really, really long time. But yet, Lahodos Ulahalel. The Chashmonai government was not, you know, a great government. But yet the Rambam writes, one of the reasons of Lahodos Ulahalel is to appreciate what we have, even though it wasn't what we wanted, but it was what we were given. And we appreciate it, even though it wasn't what we wanted. We wanted something more. And that's also one of the lessons of Chanukah, of Lahodos Ulahalel, to praise and give thanks for things when they don't meet our expectations. When things don't necessarily turn out the way that we want them, to be able to give praise and thanks to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the way that they are. Okay, so that was just sidebar, introduction, not really an introduction to the shir, but just it's on Parshas Vayetze, and every year on Parshas Vayetze, Thanksgiving, I think about it. Okay, so we're Yotze Chazara on that all-important part. Now let's move forward. Okay, so we're going to revisit something that we've done before, in the beginning of Vayetze. If we have time, maybe we'll move a little further into the parsha. But in the very, very beginning of the parsha, Vayachalom v'inei sula mutzav arza v'rosho magia shamayma v'inei malachei Elohim olim b'yardim bo. In the beginning of the parsha, of course, is the great vision that the Baal HaTorah makes sure to tell us. Vayachalom, you might think a chalom is what? You know, we all have interesting dreams, right? Who knows what we dream about? So the Torah says Vayachalom, but the Baal HaTorah makes sure to tell us that this is Nevuah. Make no mistake. This isn't just a vision that Yaakov Avinu ate something funky and so he had this really wacky dream. No. This is a Nevuah. Yaakov Avinu is experiencing Nevuah here. And if this is a Nevuah, we have to know that this is a Nevuah for all of us. And this is a Nevuah for all time. And what is the Sulamut of Arta Verosho Magia Shamaima? The Baal HaTorah tells us that Sulam is Begematria Sinai. It's interesting. He has a bunch of things that Sulam is equivalent to in Gematria, but that's only when Sulam is written with the Vav. Why does he add in the Vav even though the Vav is not there? Okay, for another time, Ayin, you have to look at the Baal HaTorah. But he says the one Gematria of Sulam that it matches without the Vav is Sinai. And why is that? So many Mefarshim explain, because the Sulam that's Mutav Artsav, Arosha Megiya Shemaimah, that's firmly entrenched in this earth, but the top is reaching up to heavens, that Hashem showed Yaakov Avinu a vision of Har Sinai. Again, we have V'hinei Hashem Nitzav Alav, and here also, God is right hovering over it, on Har Sinai, Hashem comes down. There are a lot of parallelisms between what takes place right here and Har Sinai, but the key to understanding the Sulam is understanding that it's Har Sinai. And what is the key? What is the lesson of the Sulam? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChayim, in Shar Aleph, a key to understanding what the Sulam is about. And he says that really, the Shlach HaKadosh is one of the first ones to point out, that Adam, the name of the first human being, has a double meaning, right? Adam can mean Adam El Elyon, that I'll be compared to God, but Adam also stands for that he's from the Adama, he's from the dirt. And the Nefesh HaChayim, you know, from the Shlach HaKadosh says, what the Sulamut of Arza, the vision, the prophecy that Yaakov Avinu has, is of the godless Adam and the katnus Adam, is the greatness of a human being and the smallness of a human being. That a person can reach Magia Shamaima, you can reach heaven, but also you can stay firmly entrenched, mutzav arza, not rising up above the ground. We can vacillate between these two extremes. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner says, where is the, I understand the koach of the aretz, I understand the mutzav arza. After all, here we are, we have very physical needs. In many ways, we resemble animals. So, you know, we walk on 2 feet, not on 4K, shkoyach, there are monkeys also that walk on 2 feet. So how are we merotzer magia shamayma? And he says that this is what the Tzelem Elokim means. Tzelem Elokim means, in Kabbalah, one of the highest level of world is known as Adam HaKadmon. And if you look in the Otzer Tzachayim of Reb Chaim Vital, teachings of the Arizal, deepest teachings in Kabbalah are using the imagery of a human being. Deepest teachings in Kabbalah, we know chesed is the right arm. No, but the deepest teachings of the nose and the nostrils and the hair, it's like wild. Wild. Why? Because Nefesh HaChaim says the lesson for each and every one of us is to understand who we can become and understand the impact that we can have. There's in fact a Bereshis Rabbah that says, Olim v'yardim bo, and the Medrash Rabbah, Bereshis Rabbah says, V'roktim bo. That the Malachim were dancing. Olim v'yardim bo, they're going up and down, V'roktim bo, and they were dancing. What does it mean? They were dancing. Isn't that a strange thing? What's the Medrash pointing out to us? So Zok t'chidush erim, the first Ger Rebbe, Zechusik in Aleinu, exactly the same teaching of the Nefesh HaChayim. You know why roktim bo? Because when you understand the power of everything that you do, the power of a word, the power of a glance, the power of a bracha. It's the famous story that we've told many times that the Vilna Gaon's wife was one of the Gabi'it Tzedakas. She and one other woman were one of the heads of the Chesed organization in Vilna. They would go around collecting a lot of tzedakah for people. And the famous Maisa is that they were very, very close, and they made a deal. Whoever goes first to the next world will come back and tell the other what it's like. These were people on a certain level, obviously. And the other woman passed away first and came back to tell the Vilna Gaon's wife, you should know that in the next world, the din v'cheshbon is really so, so detailed, ad kedei kach, that you might think, oh no, every laver, but she said, you don't understand. Remember when we were looking for a certain gevir, a certain wealthy person, because we had to raise money for a case of achnasas kala, and we were walking around Vilna for looking in the marketplace, and we found him, and you point and said, oh look, there he is. Do you know the reward you're going to get in Shemayim for picking up your hand and pointing to him and saying, oh, look, there he is? She says, you have no idea the reward you're going to get for picking up your hand and pointing to the guy. You thought that's not nice to point, huh? You see, sometimes you tell your kids, put your hand down, don't point. Mommy, he looks so bad, right? No, put your hand down, don't look, right? But Lemaisa, by lifting up hand and pointing, said you're going to get reward beyond what you can even imagine. And this is what the Chiddush Erim says. You know why the Malachim will olim v'yor dimbo? Because they were v'rok dimbo and they were dancing? Because we are those Malachim. Yaakov Avinu saw us, olim v'yor dimbo, all the different generations that go up and go down, rotzo v'shov, run forth and retreat. V'rok dimbo, because we understand the koach of every maisa that we do. Nefesh HaChaim says, I mean, he says it in some pretty scary terms also, in terms of Averos, in terms of what Lashon Hara can mean, and you know, we're not going to go into the negative, we're going to try and stay in the positive. But this is something that when we talk about the Sulam Mutzav Arts of Rosh HaMagia Shamayma, when we use Torah and Mitzvos, when we use it to help us, guide us on that path, to understand V'rok Dimboz, and Nefesh HaChaim says, Magia Shamayma. You can reach Mamsh, the highest places. We know, where do they reach? They reach to the Kisei HaKavod, to the highest level in Shamayim. This is what we have the ability to do, the Nefesh HaChaim tells us. This is what the Chiddush Erim tells us, why we're roked in bow. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manom goralenu, how blessed we are. that we have these opportunities to serve Hashem. The Lubavitcher Rebbe once wrote a letter to a person in Curacao. Right? There was a Jew in Curacao that was asking the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you know where Curacao is?
Yes, I've been there.
I don't know. It's like a fancy island somewhere. That's all I know, right?
Sand.
That's the famous thing. But in the Western Hemisphere. And there was a Jew in Curacao that there were a few families that had kids and they wanted the Lubavitcher Rebbe. They would, believe it or not, there was no Chabad in Curacao back in the day. Now there is. And he signed the letter, his name, a small Jew in Curacao. The Lubavitcher Rebbe wrote him back, just, you know, of course I'm going to send someone right away. He'll be there in a week. Get ready for him. But he goes, one thing I have to correct you. There's no such thing as a small Jew. There's no such thing as a small Jew. You have no understanding of what you're capable of doing. Again, a simple bracha. We know David HaMelech, there's a plague, people dying every day. David HaMelech said, start saying brachas. That will help. Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter, I've shared many times. One of the Gedolei Kabbalah, Sefer HaMevarech Yisbarech, he writes in the introduction that, you know, people come to me, thousands of people every year. Thousands and thousands of people go to him every year for brachos, for different things. And he says, the first question I ask is, are you makbid on saying 100 brachos a day? Do you try and say those brachos with kavana? And he has such a shocking, shocking statement. He says, anyone who doesn't say their brachos with kavana, he says it's ki'ilu, it's as if they violate the iser in the Torah of lo samud al dam reyecha. What does that mean, lo samud al dam reyecha? Don't stand by and do nothing when a person you know is facing a life and death situation. You have a halachic obligation to do whatever you can do. Zakter B'Yakob Meir Shechter, you know people need a refuah shleima? You know people that have whatever tzorach that is? If you add any names during Rifayinu, any names at other parts in Shemoneh Esrei, and he says, and you don't try to say your brachos with kavana, he says it's ki'ilu, it's as if. He doesn't say it is. He says it's as if you violate lo samud al dam reyacha, because you're not doing what you could do to help another person. He says, we don't understand how brachos bring such shefa into this world. That's why sometimes we don't understand how bad Lashon Hara really can be. Do we understand how bad Lashon Hara can be? The Chafetz Chaim, he wrote multiple books. Not because he just wanted to scare us. Because he believed, mamish, what's keeping Mashiach from coming is Lashon Hara. Is that we speak and we're not careful of what's said at our Shabbos table. What we discuss in texts and emails and comments. It's crazy. That's Olim V'Yordim. We're Ola, but we're also Yorid. Can you imagine how different the world would be if a chevra, you know, the Gros said he has a Kabbalah, 10 families alone could bring Mashiach. Just accept upon themselves. No Lashon Hara, not getting angry with each other, not being jealous of each other, not, can you imagine? Can you imagine how great this would be? And that's why when we talk about wanting Zechusim, you know, everyone, I've said this many times also during that Seder Simei Tshuva, people are so careful with Pasakum. You know, how many questions I get, can you eat Cheerios or the bagels in the bagel store Pasakum? Can I have Stella Doro cookies? And people get really makbid on Pasakum, and I say, I give you a bracha, you should be as careful with Lashon Hara this week as you are with your Pasakum. Not to say, not to, God forbid, I don't mean to malign the minhag of Pasakum. It's based on Yerushalmi, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber brings it down. But I tell people, you'll bring more blessing to your home not speaking Lashon Hara for 10 days than if you eat Stella Doro cookies. I'm just telling you. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm pretty sure. But why is this? Why do we have such a koach? So remember, this was a pasuk that we actually learned during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva together. And we mentioned it then. In Parshas Hazinu. What do we say in Parshas Hazinu? Do you remember? We I'm pretty sure we spoke about this pasuk. Perek Lamed Beis. Pasuk Tes. Ki chelek Adonai Amo. Yaakov. Chevel Nachalaso. Ki chelek Hashem Amo. That Hashem is a portion of his people. Yaakov. Chevel Nachalaso. Chevel literally means what? The rope. Yaakov is the chevel of his inheritance. What does a rope do? It means that, I thought we discussed this, Hazino, that a rope between us and heaven, we have tremendous effect of what's going up on in heaven. We have literally the direct line. A direct line. You have a direct line to what's going on in heaven. You can affect what's taking place up there. We have the Sula Mutav Arza, Virosho Magia Shamaima. You can ascend and change things up there. Yes, that's the koach that you have. And that's why the Chidush Erim says, the Medrash teaches us, Olim V'Ardimbo, V'Rokdimbo. We should be tremendous, we should be dancing when we know the koach that we have, of what we can accomplish. I understand it's scary also. I understand it's scary. People run away from responsibility when they recognize the achrayas and what they can do. Some people might rather say, you know what, I'd rather my words don't have that effect. Take that power away from me. Unfortunately, we don't have that right. Right? That's what it means, becoming mechuyav b'mitzvos. It means you understand that olam v'yardim, no one's in a constant state of aliyah. And this many tzaddikim always also point out, as we said, the ratzel v'shav, running forth and retreating. But at the same time, as one sefer brings down a beautiful, a current day mechaber in a sefer, but it's an idea that you find everywhere, that even when you're going down, you have to understand malachei elokim. They still have the status of malachei elokim. That's something that we have to understand when we talk about the Sulam Mutzav Arza. This Sulam Mutzav Arza should empower us, should invigorate us, should get us to dance with a little bit of trepidation. I understand with a little bit of fear. But you know, as I shared with one of my talmidim literally today in a walk around, such a nice day today, go back on our walks, a walk with one of my Talmidim today, and just discussing with him the Kalach HaTorah. You know, we're learning Be'am Darkech about Torah before we start Gemara. Just to realize the Kalach that we have right now, that we're sitting and learning Torah together. You know, Nefesh HaChaim says, Rabbi Shemaiah quotes it, before you learn Torah, you should really say, Hashem, through our learning of Torah, please let our souls receive your divine light. Please let us come closer to you. Please let us be attached to you through your learning of Torah. And we learned that recently, and something we're going to start every day in Shir to say this before we learn, to know really what we're doing here. And what we're doing here in a Shir. And it's not Stam that we come together in your home to learn. Do you realize the light we're bringing here, the blessing, should be tremendous Shefa. So if you win that Mega Millions, you know, we have to share with everyone from the Shir. Right? There's a lot of people here tonight. Somehow I think we'll be okay. Right? But Lemaisa, this is something we have to see, that we are those Malach Elokim. We are those Malachim, Nefesh HaChaim says, going up and down. We are Rotsro Magia Shamayim, the places that we can reach. We'd be scared how high we can go if we really, really understood it and we really believed it. And that's one yesod from the parasha. The other yesod is Yaakov Avinu coming to the Be'er. So there's a beautiful Al Shech HaKadosh. We're not going to get into the whole Al Shech HaKadosh, but the Al Shech HaKadosh says, when you look at Perek Chavtes, it really starts in Pasuk Beis. Through Ches, it's the back and forth between Yaakov and the Roei Tzon. But he says that these psukim of Beis through Ches are really the blueprint of Jewish history. He says, what's the Be'er that we try to get water from? What's the Be'er? The Be'er is the Beis HaMikdash. The Shlosha Edrei Tzon, Rov Tzimaleh, that are waiting to get the water from the Beis HaMikdash, are the Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim, three groups. But there's an Evan Gedola al Pia Be'er. What's the Evan Gedola al Pia Be'er? So there was a sin that was stopping up the ability to get the water, and that was Avodah Zarah. He says, but then they came together, Evan Yashku Hadarim, and they Nesu Shamakal Adarim, the Galus Evan Me'al Pia Be'er, the Hishku Es Atzon, but Heshuvas Evan al Pia Be'er Lumakoma. They removed, Al-Sheikh says, we know the Gemara in Yom, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Shabbos, that we've discussed many times before, the Anshei Knesset HaGadola removed the Evan Me'al Pi Aber. They removed the Yetzara for Avodah Zarah. But unfortunately, what happened? They put another Evan Me'al Pi Aber. And that's the Evan of Sinas Chinam. That's the Evan, and that's when Yaakov says to him, Me'ayin Atem, Ve'yomru Me'charon Anachnu, Charon Af. We're from Charon, a place where people can't get along, where people have great anger at each other. And there's a whole back and forth, getting deeper, Al Pi Kabbalah, what Lavan represents, but Rachel is the one that's going to save us. Because why? What does Rachel do? Rachel Nevak Al Baneha. Rachel is the one who cries for her children. Rachel is the greatest zechus of any of the avos. And what's Rachel's zechus? Remember, what's Rachel's zechus? She gave over the simanim. We've quoted from before from the Kerem Shlomo, the Heilige Baba Vireba, Reb Shlomo LaHalberstam, zechus yigin aleinu. The great-grandfather of our neighbor in Union, the Baba 45 Rav, Reb Chaim Burach Halberstam, his great-grandfather. The Kerem Shlomo, Reb Shlomo LaHalberstam, the one who lost his wife and all his children but one who survived Reb Naftuli. So Reb Chaim Burach is a great grandson, I believe, from one of Naftali's sisters, all the cousins married. Yeah, cousins married each other. His son's getting married to his third cousin, both with the last name Halberstam. You know, it's Leibedik. But the Kerem Shlomo says that, that's when David is Maspid Yehonasan. In the beginning of Shmuel Beis, what does he say? He says that his love is Kavas Anoshim, like the love of women. So what does that mean? That the love of Yehonasan was like, what does that mean? You know, one Israeli politician went crazy with that. But the Kerem Shlomo, the Heilige Bavar, says, you know what it means? It means that how did Yehonasan learn to do what he did? Meaning, Yehonasan had a choice in front of him. Follow my father and be the next king, or put my allegiance with David HaMelech and what? Basically say, I'm giving up my chance to the throne. And what did Yehonasan do? What did he do? He went in with David. He recognized that David was really the Bechir Hashem, the one that was chosen by God. So what does he do? Yehonasan says to David, I'm with you. He could have handed David over to his father and killed him. And there is no more fights for the throne. When Shaul goes, Yehonasan takes over. No David. But what does Yehonasan do? He abdicates. He gives up any right and says, David, I'm going to be with you. And he saves his life multiple times. That, the Kerem Shlomo, the Babavar says, is what David HaMelech meant when he was being maspid, Yehonasan, that ka'avas hanoshim, like the love of women. Which women? The love that Rachel had for Leah. Who did Yehonasan come from? Who did Yehonasan come from? Binyamin, Rachel. Who is David from? Yehuda, Leah. What did Rachel do to Leah? Gave up everything for Leah. She didn't think that Yaakov was going to also marry her. That was it. She was giving up her life. By giving Leah the simanim, she was finished. Who knew what she was? She wasn't going to be the Em B'Yisrael. She was willing to give up everything for her sister. That, the Kerem Shlomo, the Babavar says, is what Yehonasan is being praised by David for. That Yehonasan did the same thing. Yehonasan did the same thing. And this is what the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says, why they're waiting for Rachel. Why Yaakov, he sees Rachel, and he's able to lift the Be'er. And of course, because Yaakov is Bechir Sheba'avos, Mitaso Shleima, unfortunately, from his sons they were all part of Klal Yisrael, but that's where Sinas Chinam started, when they were all part of Klal Yisrael. But it was at this moment when he saw Rachel, at this moment when he cried because he saw that Rachel wasn't going to be buried with him, it was at this moment that he heard, Mini kolech mi bechi veinayich min dima. It was at that moment that Yaakov Avinu was so inspired by his beloved Rachel that he was able to lift the Evan Me'al Pi HaBe'er. He was able to lift the Sinas Chinam from his children. and say that this is what's going to end the galus. Micharon anachnu micharon af, chalila v'chas. God forbid. And as we said last week of Chanukah, unfortunately, it's why Chanukah isn't the full yontif that it could have been. Because of the Ritzicha amongst the Jewish people that was taking place, right? That's what we mentioned last week, Rachmana Litzlan. So in this parsha is the Refua Kodem L'maka. Before we get to the Maka of a parsha's Vayeshev, before we get to the affliction of the Sinas Chinam of the Mechiras Yosef that we've said many times, the Drashos Beis Yishai, Reb Shlomo Fisher Zatzal, one of the great, great Gedolei Torah, who was just nifter about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, and I think, I was ochet to meet him, to ask him some shilas. Mamash, one of the greatest Gedolei Torah of our generation, just sat in a room, just learned day and night. People didn't, you had to know who he was, otherwise he wasn't like in the newspapers, they weren't showing Gedolim pictures of Reb Shlomo Fisher, but he's the one in Drash Speis Yishai. He said that he thinks Asar B'Teves was in fact the sale of Yosef. That's why it was the beginning of all Peronis. It took place on that day. All tragedies of the Jewish people are traced back to that day. And that's why the Evan Gedol al Pi HaBe'er, that golden dome that sits on top of the Be'er, that sits on top of the Makom HaMikdash, that's preventing us from having the full expression of Elokus in this world. We know what's holding the golden dome down. Mecharon anachnu, the charon af that Jews have for each other. The craziness that afflicts us, Rachman l'tzlan. Hashem should heal us all. Hashem should heal us all. And we should all know, Hashem should bless us, that we should all know that the Sula Mutzav Arza, we should know the koach that we have. Lubavitch Rebbe would often say, who knows, that one Jew putting on tefillin in Newark Airport, that one woman taking the two candles that are going to light them in the middle of Topeka, Kansas. We don't know which mitzvah is going to bring the Karev HaYeshua, the Ketz HaGalus, but we know that it's going to be soon. We're living in a time of prophecies. We have to double down. Baruch Hashem, we have so many things that are so good. We have so many things that are so good in our day and age. Aside from, when we all got a little scared with the FBI warning that Erev Shabbos, saying, do you really worry about anti-Semitism? Again, al tiftach peh, I mean, the shayla of sakana bizman hazeh, lighting the menorah outside or inside. Okay, but we have, Baruch Hashem. What are the external shackles not allowing us to serve God here in America? Really? What are they? Unfortunately, so many are self-imposed. So many times, the things that are pulling us down, Olim v'yordim. Hashem should help us. Not that we're never going to be yored. We're going to be yored. But that when we yored, we pick ourselves up and we push ourselves further higher and recognize the difference that we can make. Can you imagine, as Michelle, you said, Baruch Hashem, great crowd here tonight. Can you imagine if everyone was makabel upon themselves leaving this year tonight? You're not going to speak Lashon Hara. You're not going to listen to Lashon Hara. If everyone in this room right now was makabel upon themselves, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara. I'm not going to listen to Lashon Hara. Oh, sorry, I'm sure it's a sturdy table. It's all okay. Nothing's breaking. For Hashem, not for me. Have fun, but I'm okay. I hope the chair can hold me. That's all. I'm like, oh, I said that. I hope. Right. But Lamaisa, do you realize, maybe from our shir tonight, we could bring Mashiach. Olim v'yardim v'roktim bo, as the Chiddush HaRim says. Can you imagine how we'd be dancing? Can you imagine how we'd be singing b'simcha? It would be amazing, wouldn't it? U'mach Hashem dima mi'al kol panim. Hashem's going to wipe off tears from every face because of the Kabbalah that we make here, that our homes are going to be Lashon Hara free zones. It would be an amazing thing, wouldn't it? So what's stopping us? we can dream. When we have to dream. Remember, we said on Rosh Hashanah, from Rav Amital, Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva, Mine and Gush, that what does the Gemara Brachos mean? And some of Farshim, by the way, bring it down in this parasha also. What does it mean, he goes 7 days without a dream, you're Russia? What does that mean? I'm trying to think, you know, as I say this. I mean, even Friday night, you know, when I eat latest in the day and normally have funky dreams. I don't think I had a dream this past Friday night. I don't know. Maybe I went seven. What does it mean? 7 days without a dream. You're Russia? So what did Rav Amital say? What does that mean? Did anyone listen to Russia? And I'm joking. I'm sure you all listened. But Rav Amital said, what does it mean dreaming at night? It means, what do you dream about what we can accomplish during the day? And I heard a beautiful pshat. I mean, Mamish, in this week's parsha, when I looked in this week's parsha, I saw for why Dafka 7 days? This Rav Amital didn't say. Why is it 7 days? Well, we spoke a little bit about Shabbos, a kol Yaakov, hearing the different voices. That you go 7 days without a dream, that's bad. Because if you have 7 days, what do you have in those 7 days? You have a Shabbos. Shabbos is the day when we say we try and tune out the outside world, when you can hear the voice of Hashem and the voice of this world. We hope on Shabbos, at least on Shabbos, you could dream. Maybe during the week we can, because we're running around, we're busy, and our phones are so loud, and it's not giving us a moment to reflect, but at least on Shabbos, dream. Dream what can be. Isn't that amazing? Dream what can be. We already see Vayasa Midbar Ke'edin, Varvasa Kigan Hashem, the Eretz Yisrael, we're sand dunes, Imamish, planting things, Chalutz, it's like unbelievable what's going on there. Prophecies are happening, Chever, we're so close. Maybe we could be the ones. Tonight, cheer. We could be the ones. I know, it sounds crazy, huh? I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy. Maybe I'm a fool. But I believe in the kalach of each and every one of us, of the difference that we could really make. Hashem should help us, Michelle. Next week's, it's going to be someone in Yerushalayim. I don't know who's supposed to be hosting next week. I don't know who.
But,
oh, okay. Sheila Hanover in Yerushalayim, Be'ezus Hashem. I'm not sure where they're going to be living in Eretz Yisrael, but right, she's going soon after, Be'ezus Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem. But maybe, you know, my students always think I'm crazy. I always used to say at the end of the week in Berea, when I talk Thursdays or Wednesdays, I'm not going to call anyone out, see if you remember. But I always say, I hope next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we should learn in Yerushalayim. But I'm crazy. Learning in Yerushalayim? What are you talking about? Lunatic rabbi? Mamish, ani mamid b'muna shleima. Ani mamid b'muna shleima. Tonight, we might all be woken up 3 o'clock in the morning, our phones blowing up, some massive stone building just fell from the sky, crushed the dome of the rock, and there's some guy in white robes who's talking and everyone's listening to him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Chevra. It could be. We could build it. I hope you'll join us. Shkoyach.